Mishnah Yomis for Sunday, the seventh day of Shvat, Tovshin Pei Gimel, Masechta Erevin Perek Aleph, Mishnah Zayin. This Mishnah is going to talk about what can serve as a lechi to fix up a mavui, so it should be a mechitza. And we get then distracted, we get then talking about other halachas which are not really so relevant to the Masechta of Erevin. Bakoil oisin lechoyayin, you can use anything to make a lechi, to make a post, or use as a post at the entrance of a mavui. Afilu bedover shesh beiruchayim, you can even use something that's alive, anything, like an animal. You tie the animal with ropes to the pegs, to nails which are in the wall of the mavui, or to the roof, in such a way where you're not worried that maybe there's no fear that the animal will run away from it, or that it will crouch and fall to the ground, and then you won't even have a, because a lechi has to be at least 10 tefachim high. So you know that the lechi is going to be there, and it's going to be there at a minimum height of 10 tefachim, because it's not going to, it's tied up. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you cannot make a lechi out of something that's living. Why? Because he is worried that maybe the animal will die, and then you won't have a post that's 10 tefachim high. And the people in the mavui are not going to notice that, and they'll be carrying in the mavui, thinking that they were that lechi was still valid. Tanakam is not worried about dying, about the animal dying, because it's unusual. It's not shchicha; it's quite unusual. Umetamei mishum gol. Now comes another halacha that there is a din of tumah on this animal, even on something that's alive, as it is a goylol. A goylol means it's covering the grave. Now it says in the Torah, anything that a person touches on the field, whether it's a slain by the sword or a body or a bone of a body or in a kever, will be tameh for 7 days. And Chazal learned that when it says kol ha-shugah, anything he touches means even the goylol and the doifek. What is the goylol and the doifek? Here we have different opinions. One opinion is, the way Rashi learns, goylol is the covering on top of the mace, the covering of the orin, that anyone who touches that will become tameh for 7 days. What's the dofek? Dofek is the boards or the supports that the goylol is leaning upon. So if they made, let's say, an animal, they spread the animal on as a goylol for a kever, it was, let's say, tied down and put over the grave, when it touches it, it's tameh for 7 days. There is a machlokes, rishonim, as to whether that tumor that's descended upon the animal will remain on the animal even after it's been released from its position as a goyel. That's Rashi. Rashi holds its matame forever. Rambam learns differently. Rambam paskins know that our Mishnah, when it says it's tummy 7 days, if he touches the goyel or the animal, it's only whilst it's still being used as a goyel. Well, it's still being used as a covering over a grave. But once it's released, it'll become tahor like any other animal. Rabbi Meir says that anything that's alive cannot become tummy as a goyel. What's the reason of Rabbi Meir? He learns that any mechitza that's only there because of the air, because of its wind, its own life, that's not called a proper mechitza. And therefore, it can't be, or because it's a mechitza that's not made by human hand, it's not a mechitza. Some have the girsa Rabbi Meir, not just in here, but in the first machlokes, as to whether you can use an animal for a lechi or not. Rabbi Yossi, remember before, said it's also, some say that's not Rabbi Yossi, it's Rabbi Meir. V'koisvin olav gitei noshim. One can write, and one's permitted to write a get on an animal, let's say on the horn of a cow, as long as you give the woman, as long as one gives the woman the whole cow, and that'll be her get. If he cuts the horn off and then gives it to her, it won't be kosher. Why? Because the pasuk says, "V'kosav la sefer krisus, v'nosan la v'yada." He shall write her a book of divorce, a book of separation. That's the divorce, and give it to her. From here, we learn that there can't be any other action interrupting between the writing, the ksiva, and the nesina. Has to be writing and then give it to her. But if you write it on the horn of an animal and then cut off that animal and then give it to her, then there's an act that's interrupted between the ksiva and the nesina, and that makes the whole get possible. This is the Tanakama. The Tanakama holds, yes, you can write a get even on living creatures, living animal. Rabbi Yossi Raglilim Posel. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can't. You can't write a get on a balachayim because it says, because of law, sefer krisos. He shall write a book of divorce. Rabbi Yossi Raglili learns that the get has to be like a sefer. The sefer is something which is inanimate, hasn't got any ruchayim. So too, only something that hasn't got a ruchayim, it's lifeless. And therefore, if you write it on an animal and give it that, that's not lifeless. It's not kosher, according to Rabbi Yossi Raglili. What does the Tanakhama do with that pasuk? He says, no. He learns a different drasha from the word sefer. He learns that the word sefer means a book, and that tells us that the get has to be like a book, meaning it has to tell the story that this man is divorcing his wife. It has to tell a story. If the get doesn't tell a story, then it's not good. It's not going to be it's not going to work as a get. In what exactly the goyel is, as we mentioned before, we said it was a machlokes v'shonim. Before, we learned, like Rashi's explanation, that the goyel is actually the covering on the orein of the mace, on the coffin. It's the covering on top of the orein of the mace. Dofik is the boards that are holding it up. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi's explanation, and he says it's very strange to say that. He has a number of questions, and he learns that the goyel is in fact a stone that's like a metzeva that's placed on top of the kever. So after they've buried the mace, after they've already sealed the grave, then what they would do is they would put a large stone over the kever, that was a simon, as a sign that there was someone buried there, and they would have some small stones supporting that bigger stone at both ends, one over the other end, and these stones that were supporting it were called the dofek, the stones underneath of the goyel, one at the top of the metzeva, one at the bottom of the metzeva. And as Tosfos points out in Masechta Ksubos, that Rashi's explanation is very, very, very unusual, because who would use animals as a covering for a grave? But and therefore he learns that it's more logical to learn like Rabbeinu Tam, that the actual animal was not used as a covering for the grave, but as just used there temporarily as a support, as a stone until they would get a stone. Mishnah Ches. This Mishnah comes to teach us the halachas about a place of and how you make it a Rishus HaYochid, how you make it a private domain to be able to carry in Shabbos. Shiara, if you have a group of travelers, Shechonsa Bevikah, that camped in a large area, a Bika, which has a din of a Carmelis. It's in between, it's not a Rishus HaRabim nor Rishus HaYochid, but it's prohibited Mirabonim to carry there without fixing it up. V'hikifuha, and they encircled this on Friday. They encircled it with a mechitza. Bichlei behema, the mechitza consisted of animal accessories. They use all types of saddles, etc. And they put it around this area in order to allow them to carry on Shabbos. Metaltlin b'socha, says the Mishnah, yes, one can carry in such an area. It has a din of a Rishus HaYochid. Uvilvad shehei gadar gavoya satvachim. As long as the mechitzas, the fences that they've constructed using these animal accessories like saddles, etc., as long as it has a height of a minimum height of 10 tvachim. A further condition is that if there are breaks in this fence, there should not be more in total than the standing part of the wall. Similarly, you could have a problem even if the parts was okomed, the broken part was equal to the standing part, that would also be okay. Meaning that if you collect all the places which are broken, the distance of those breaks, and you add it up, it would be equal to the parts that are standing, that would also be sufficient. If, however, there is more in the porots, more in the broken areas, that would over than the standing areas, then it's not a considered a, what's his name, it's not considered a offense. Finally, says the Mishnah, kol pirtza shehi keser amos mutaris. Any breach that's up to and including 10 amos in width, any opening in that fence would still be mutaris. It would still be permitted to carry there, so long as you've still got more oimed than parats, more the standing than breached. Because anything up to 10 amos is considered a door. It's considered an entrance. Yes, we can, but once you have a pirtza, a debris, that's more than 10 amos wide, then it's a different story. Then even if it's only one amma more, then the 10 amos, even one gap in the fence, that's more than 10 amos, also it will be forbidden to carry in that whole area. And the reason is because a pirtza, any breach that's more than 10 amos, is not called a pesach anymore. It's not called an opening. And if that's the case, you lose the mechitza. You lose the mechitza even if there's still more standing than broken area. The omid is mirror parts, it doesn't matter. Once you have a opening that's more than 10 amos, it's lost its ability to be mechitza. It's not called a pesach, an entrance. However, there is a remedy for it, and that's called making a tzuras ha-pesach. A tzuras ha-pesach is where you have a form of a frame of a door, two door posts, and then one going directly across the heads of these uprights. That would be a tzuras ha-pesach, and that would permit one to carry even in when you have a gap more than 10 amos, because then by making a tzuras ha-pesach, that turns it back into a. It gives it again the status of a Pesach of an entrance, even though it's more than 10 amos wide.